National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Tom McBride, Cressa, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, Brian Chandler, Pretori Law, Dan Pavlik, P2 Communications, Steve Navarro, and Will Davis, Right Source Marketing, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, as my co-hosts. John, can you please give us a rundown on who our guests are today?
Our first guest is Thomas Sanchez, CEO of Social Driver. Then we'll talk to Keith Mueller, CEO of Bookkeeping Express. Our third guest is Varun Malhotra, co-founder and executive vice president of Changes. And our last guest is Tom Miller, tax principal at Thompson Greenspan.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, Thomas Sanchez, CEO of Social Driver. Thomas, what is Social Driver?
Social Driver is a digital and social media agency. So we help our clients connect with people today through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, all the social media websites and digital advertising.
Right. How large or how small is this agency?
We're just at 50 people.
Uh-huh. And how old is it?
We're just over 6 years old.
And how'd you get a job with it?
So I started the company.
Oh, you started the business. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Missouri.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
I had one older sister and one younger brother.
Uh-huh. And where are you? You're the middle of three.
I'm right in the middle.
Uh-huh. And tell me a little bit about how young were you when you got involved with this thing called FFA, and how come you got involved with it?
Well, I was probably about 12. FFA is Future Farmers of America, and I grew up on a farm in Missouri. So, you know, my family were cattle farmers, corn, soybeans. And so I wanted to learn about the family business and think about a career in farming.
And what was the thing about FFA? You had to go get involved with some kind of a business? What was that?
Yeah, in FFA, you actually have to start your own business. So you have to keep a ledger. You have to keep track of the, you know, the expenses. I ended up buying a cow.
All right. So let me ask you a question. What's the similarity between buying a cow and building this agency called Social Driver?
Well, I think that when you start any business, you know, especially in kind of agriculture, it really takes a lot of time, a lot of compassion, a lot of vision.
Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with, you know, taking care of the cow as well as building a business. Who's got the next question here? Tom?
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about Midwestern Sensibility, a Missouri farm, and a technology firm here in Washington, D.C. What's the parallels there?
Well, I think in the Midwest, you know, we're a tight bunch. We're close to family and friends, and so we have a really good community. You know, and in a business like Social Driver, you know, where our job is to connect companies and people together, it's the same thing. You need a community. So I think community is key to starting and growing any business.
Mm-hmm. Is there a logical connection between agriculture and technology? Are there things that you learned in that period that are clear stepping stones to get to it?
I think so. You know, when I grew up out on the farm, I had nothing but free time. So when my uncle gave me a computer and I learned how to write computer programming there, it really did inspire me to start a career in technology as a software engineer.
Brian?
Tom, earlier you talked a little bit about a period of time where you started a business whereby you grew sweet corn, 2 acres of sweet corn, and this is a very influential period for you. What did you learn from that, and how do you use it now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that growing up out there on the farm, those were not necessarily easy times. We had a lot of time and a lot of land, but we didn't have a lot of money. And I actually wanted to take a trip here to Washington, D.C. In middle school, and you know, we just didn't have the money. So I ended up starting a business by growing sweet corn out on these couple acres. Ended up filling up three pickup trucks with 5 gallons, you know, buckets full of corn, and ended up driving into town and selling it.
Didn't you tell us when you started that business, you had a vision actually of wanting to come to D.C. or something like that?
Yeah, that's where the trip was. It was a school trip here to D.C.
How old were you?
I was probably 13.
And isn't that exactly what happened? You came from Missouri to D.C. to start this business 6 years ago?
Yeah, 6 years ago or so, I moved from Kansas City, Missouri, here to D.C.
So you're the kind of guy that when you put your mind to something, you're going to make it happen, no matter how long it takes. Will?
Yeah, Thomas, you spoke with us about growing up with a lot of extended family in your farm area, and then how does that correlate to starting this group you spoke about called Coffee Break?
Yeah, when I moved to D.C., you know, I really didn't know anybody here, and I was so used to being in a community where I knew, you know, a lot of friends and family. So I actually went on Craigslist and posted kind of a message that said, hey, I think entrepreneurs should start at least one morning together with other entrepreneurs. And I ended up starting a group here in D.C. of CEOs called Coffee Break. Ended up meeting a great community in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Dan, Steve, who's got the next question there? Steve?
So with that background, I'm curious about growing up on a family-run farm. What influences had the greatest impact on your ability to grow your business and manage mm-hmm. different personalities yeah. yep. here in D.C. Good. Versus Missouri?
Well, I think growing up on a farm automatically makes you an optimist because you plant the seeds in the spring and you harvest in the fall, and you have to know how to take that risk and share the vision. And when you're the CEO of a company, your number one job is sharing the vision and being able to share that with your team, with your customers, and you know, with all of your vendors and partners as well.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
Earlier we spoke about what you did for fun on the farm, yeah. and you mentioned that you were in a band. What instrument did you play?
I played guitar. Yeah.
The guitar, and what kind of impact do you think that has had on you?
Well, I think being in a band is definitely a creative venture, and as Social Driver, we are a creative firm. You know, you're kind of learning the skills of being able to come up with an idea and put it out there in the world and see what people think about it.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
Earlier you were telling us about how that your cow had a baby, a yeah. calf. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I remember I was probably still in elementary school, and one of the cows on our farm, it was a really cold winter night, and she gave birth to this calf, and you know, we had to bring it into our kitchen and take care of it.
Why?
And then what did that experience teach you that you yeah, right. use now with Social Driver?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard work, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's at 3 a.m. and you're bringing the cow into the kitchen. You do what you need to do for your business. And it's the same thing at Social Driver. You know, what's going to set you apart in an industry like digital creative is being there for your customers, knowing that they can count on you, that no matter what, you're going to deliver for them.
Tom?
Mom or Dad, who's the one that sort of had this entrepreneurship gene?
I think they both were. My dad was the farmer on the farm, and as any farmer will tell you, that is a very interesting business. And my mom, too. You know, she had a side business, a small furniture business, so both sides of my family definitely had a small business gene.
And they were supportive of your move here and the move to Kansas City?
You know, they thought I was crazy because in Kansas City I had a pretty good job, and when I quit it and I said, hey, I'm moving to Washington, D.C., where rent is, you know, three times more expensive and I'm not going to have a job, they thought it was pretty wild, but they're really proud today of what we've come up with.
What was the draw for D.C.?
Well, you know, I always thought people misunderstood D.C. D.C. is seen as sort of this government town, but really there's so much entrepreneurship happening in Washington, D.C. Even today on my way in, I've been helping the city with this HQ2 bid, and we found out, you know, D.C. is one of the finalists. Everywhere across the United States, I think entrepreneurs know that D.C. is the place to come to do business.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you had to bring the cow in at 3 in the morning. So I understand. Did you have a lot of responsibility on that farm?
I did have a lot of responsibility. I think my brother and I, as kind of the boys on the farm, were responsible for the outdoor stuff. We had to feed the cows, take care of the field. I learned a lot about how to take care of an electric fence and not get shocked.
That was 24 by 7, though. I mean, you know that
it is.
Didn't you resent that the fact that you got stuck doing all the stuff your parents made you do it?
No, I don't think so. I grew up on a big family farm, so you know my family was just you know, my cousins all around, and you know we all helped each other. If the cows got out,
so what did your cousins think of you? What was your reputation amongst your cousins?
I think that you know, my cousins and I had a good relationship. We'd go hunting, fishing, stuff like that out on the farm. I think that probably I was known as the one who read a lot, who worked on computers, and they thought that was pretty strange.
Uh-huh. Tom?
Are there any sort of you know, mission statements or elements of your corporate structure or goals or sort of internal planning that reflect any of these things that you've taken from your from Missouri and from being a farmer? Do they permeate throughout it?
Absolutely.
What are they?
At Social Driver, our vision is to be a trusted partner for our clients to connect with people today. And I think that term, trusted partner, is so important. And that trust is fundamental to farming. You trust your neighbors. You trust your family. To do, like you said, the 24/7 operation.
What do you mean you trust your neighbors? What do you mean you trust your neighbors?
I mean, you know, we're all in it together. Like I was saying earlier, if your cows get out, you know, your neighbors come over and help you get them back into your fence, because if the same thing happens to them, they're going to want...
And how's that affecting you building your team?
Well, I try to be really open and honest with my team. You know, like I said, I view my number one job as sharing a vision and building a culture. And I think that that is one of the things that's made Social Driver so special.
What is? What is?
That our internal culture, that we trust each other, that we are a destination workplace. I think probably three of the last five people I've hired have moved from different cities.
That's amazing to me. You know, you never hear this about business. I'm glad you're sharing this. What's the website address for Social Driver?
It's socialdriver.com.
Socialdriver.com. We've been speaking with Thomas Sanchez, CEO of Social Driver, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Back in a moment, right after this break. And your name and organization is?
My name is Brett Snyder from Knuckle Puck.
Now, what is Knuckle Puck?
It's a digital marketing agency specializing in SEO, paid media, content marketing, and web development.
How old is this company?
We're coming up on our fourth year in April.
And how long have you been with it?
Since day one.
So you started the business.
Yes, I did.
Why'd you start the business?
I did not find a digital agency that I felt was built in a way to deliver the best results for our clients, and so I wanted to solve those problems and do it myself.
Uh-huh. How old were you when you started this agency?
I was 26.
And aren't you a new dad?
Yes, I am.
How old is your son or daughter?
He will be 11 months on the 25th of January.
What's the similarity between being a dad and giving birth to a business?
You don't sleep a lot.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
It requires 100% commitment of every aspect of your life to be able to do it properly.
What does, being a daddy or starting a business?
Both.
Uh-huh. So what happens if you're in the midst of starting a business and a daddy at the same time?
You need to have a very strong support system to support both.
Uh-huh. You mean a support system in terms of your wife and also at people at that work?
I mean, my wife, my family who helps us take care of my son, the team that I have at work that allows me to go and be at doctor's appointments and other pieces, and a team I can trust to deliver the work when I'm not there.
Do you really get to know your people at work?
I really do.
Do you feel like they're your family?
I stay away from the word family because we want to keep a professional environment, but we do have a very strong culture in our company, and it's very heavily based on empathy being one of our core values.
A strong culture of empathy. What do you mean?
We need to work well as a team, and to do so, you have to understand the perspective of the other people that exist on that team so that you can support them in the best way possible.
Interesting. To the benefit of the client, huh? What's the website address?
It is knucklepuckmedia.com.
Let me have that one more time.
knucklepuckmedia.com.
And your name again is?
Brett Snyder.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed.
Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Keith Mueller, who is the CEO of Bookkeeping Express. Keith, what is Bookkeeping Express? What are you guys doing?
It provides books to small businesses in a very innovative way.
What are you talking about?
Well, we think that we know for a fact that 50% of small businesses fail. Mm-hmm. And if they have good books, we know that the success rate goes up dramatically. It actually doubles with success. And we're trying to help them.
Where are you from originally?
Chicago, Illinois.
How many brothers and sisters?
Two older brothers, 9 years and 5 years older.
Ah, 9 and 5 years older. All right. Dan, did you have a question there?
Yeah, good morning, Keith. We had talked about earlier that, you know, you grew up in an environment where a lot of sports were played. Mm-hmm. What sports did you play?
So I was a basketball player and a baseball player.
Oh, basketball. What position did you play in basketball?
Point guard.
Point guard. That's great. How did that impact you today?
Well, point guard's job is to lead, organize, control, right? And that's what I do today as the CEO of Bookkeeping Express.
What do you mean? What's the similarity between being a point guard and being the CEO?
Well, my job isn't actually to do. My job is to make sure people are doing and strategically matching up against what we want to do for the firm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the leadership piece of it. That's the organizational piece of it, and making sure it's actually getting done.
Will?
So, Keith, talk to us a little bit. How young were you when you started making money?
So, freshman in high school, I was a landscaper.
Oh, whose idea was it to get that job?
Mine. Needed the money.
And what did you do that made you different?
Well, I've been always a little bit of an independent streak with the older brothers. My parents, you know, worked very, very hard, had a great work ethic, and I was just kind of an independent. And you look at compares me to my brothers, I'm always off a little bit on the streak of what I do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So how'd that impact the way that you do things at BKE today?
Well, we break the molds. That's what we're doing. In my previous career and as well as at BKE, we're always innovating. We're always breaking the mold and being that, you know, disruptor, if you may, with innovation and independence.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Now, Keith, where did you find the financing or the money to start your business, Bookkeeping Express?
Yes, we have a number of strategic partners from my background and previous work, and they're just providing great value to us strategically, operationally, all those good things that are needed to get a small business really moving forward.
And how does it influence you personally in your management of the business, the fact that you have these strategic investors?
It does make it personal, I mean, right, because they're in it for the same reason we're in it, to do something different and succeed, and it gives you that tension in the system that you have to make it occur, right?
Huh. But as opposed to separating or not wanting them involved, it sounds to me like you believe more is better if they're the right ones.
Absolutely correct. I mean, when you're running a business, you have to have as many ideas as you can have come to you so you can make the decisions that's correct for your business.
Well, you're certainly an open CEO. Tom?
Keith, what was your youth like in Chicago?
All sports.
All sports?
Cubs fan.
Congratulations,
Thank
finally.
You. Thank you.
Were you a good student?
High school, grade school, I floated right on through.
And you wear that with a badge?
Yes, I do. I don't know why that was, but my focus was sports. I mean, it's just it was.
And so your peer group, your parents, they think you were going to turn out okay, or were they worried?
No, they worried that I was going to go to college and completely failed out. And once I got the focus on academics, I did great.
And so what's the message there that you take from that, from your, obviously you had success in your career? What does that tell you?
It's really about deciding your strategy, deciding your focus, and making sure you work your butt off to actually get there.
Mm-hmm. Steve, did you have a question there?
Well, I was just going to add on to that. I was just curious if you were to, knowing what you know today, given that background, what advice would you have for yourself as a 14-year-old child?
I wouldn't do anything different personally.
Mm-hmm. Jen, you have a question?
Can you tell us what your parents did and who you're more like and how they influenced you?
Yeah, so my dad was an electrical engineer and my mom was an accounts payable clerk, and they both incredibly hardworking, reliable individuals that just powered through whatever issues there were or the work effort that they needed. More like my mom, a little bit less innovative than my dad is. Yeah, it's been a fabulous family.
Mm-hmm. John?
How young were you when you first started thinking strategically?
So actually the first time was, believe it or not, in college. I started a business fraternity called Delta Sigma Pi, which was not at our college at the time. I did that from a professor who did it, and I started to think about, wow, what impact did you actually could make? I'm macroeconomics of a major as well. So that teaches you to think strategically. And then, of course, in my previous career at Accenture, everything you do is thinking about strategy and innovation.
So your nature is to gather a lot of information and then make decisions?
Very much so.
And it's to constantly be gathering information.
Correct.
Constantly be able to make decisions.
Avid reader. Put people around you to give you new ideas.
So as a kid, maybe they just didn't see you jumping into action. You were just gathering information at that point in time to figure out who you wanted to be?
Yes, I also believe that thought process is what helped me become a good hitter or a good pitcher or a good point guard as well.
What do you mean?
I mean, you have to practice. You have to figure out ways you're going to hit the curveball. You have to figure out ways you're going to hit a ball right up the gut at the pitcher in a line drive, and we did that.
Mm-hmm. So your nature is not to go, be a quick whiz right off the bat, a superstar. Your nature is to gather it so that you got it for the long term.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. John, what else are you thinking?
How young were you when you first started doing things that were creatively destructive or disruptive?
Thank you. I think the first time was when I was at Accenture, my early years when I joined the firm at that point in time as Anders Consulting. Everything we did there was leading edge, and you start to realize the value you can drive to your clients with some really good processes or technology, and just how you got to keep pushing the ball forward.
Did that come from your mom or dad or some other adult you knew as a kid?
Honestly, the innovation came from my dad. The work effort came from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take this experience and success and share this with the rest of your team and organization to ultimately make them better?
Well, it's a great question. I think you got to show it first. You can't just say, hey, guys, you're going to be like this. You have to show them and lead them through it by the tasks, the metrics, whatever you're doing. I think that our team at Bookkeeping Express has grabbed onto this desire to change the industry and lead it and through work effort, through innovation, through being creative, and just open up the communications.
Open up the communications. Jen, yes.
You had an extremely successful career for almost 30 years, I believe, that you said. Why did you want to do this?
So one of the things you learn when you're at one place for 30 years is that you become that place. And you learn when you actually retire, which I did in 2009, to step back and spend some time and figure out who you really are. But when I stepped back, what I realized is my hobby was business, and it was work now. And I wanted to get back into it. And quite frankly, I had a phenomenal career at Accenture, but I wanted to do it again. And
do what again?
Make something really successful.
Mm-hmm. So as opposed to business being work, you enjoy it.
I love it.
What is it you enjoy about business?
As a kid, going back to 8 years old or so forth, sports is about winning. It's about doing something really good. Guess what? Business is as well.
Mm-hmm,
and that whole win, that whole I did something successful to help a client is a great feeling.
But it's not you winning. It's winning with the team, isn't it?
It's winning with the team, but more importantly, it's winning with your clients.
It's winning
making
with your
them
clients.
Feel good.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Will, did you have a question there?
I was going where you were going on the team front, which is, Keith, when you talked about the sports you played as a kid, the positions point guard, center field, pitcher, team sports, not individual-oriented.
Correct.
And not for your own glory, but really for that team win.
Yeah,
correct.
Exactly. What's the website address of Bookkeeping
Express? BookkeepingExpress.com.
Let me have that one more time.
BookkeepingExpress.com.
We've been speaking with Keith Mueller, who is CEO of Bookkeeping Express here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, learn more about our executive leaders. We will be back in a moment right after this break.
Nice interview.
Geico presents unhelpful home improvement how-tos.
You can't predict when a pipe will burst, but when one does, you'll have quite a mess on your hands. So today, I'll show you how to prep for water damage by covering everything you own in plastic wrap. All you need is a lot of patience and 15,000 feet of plastic wrap. Now let's get started.
You could try to protect your stuff by covering it in plastic wrap, or you could get covered for personal property damage through the Geico Insurance Agency. Visit Geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Varun Malhotra, who is co-founder and executive vice president of an organization known as Changes. Varun, what is Changes? What are you guys doing?
Changes is a professional services firm focused on the public sector. So we support our customers make large-scale transformation.
Uh-huh. How large or how small is this organization?
We're north of 70 employees now.
Uh-huh. And I understand this business got started in 2009. Who started the business?
My wife and I. So I work for her at home and at work.
Wow. Okay. Where are you from originally?
New Delhi, India.
How many brothers and sisters?
One younger brother.
And how young were you when you came to the United States?
19 years old.
19 years old. All right. Who's got the next question here? Who's got it? Will?
What,
Steve?
What cultural influences would you say, whether from India or the United States, have had the greatest impact on who you are as a business person today?
I think family values, sense of responsibility, and service.
Give me some more detail about that. What are you talking about?
Well, family values, because you know I grew up in a privileged house. I saw my dad start a business and do really, really well, but then I also saw it tank. My mom had a career of her own. Early in life, I really enjoyed it. But then when the family hit some economic hard times, it was an eye-opener for me. Mm-hmm. And I became responsible for what happens to me and had to create my own parachute.
Brian?
Varun, you talked a little bit earlier about how back in India you were an average student probably at first. And but your family came and got up a hardship. You were promised that you would probably go to the United States to study. Things became more difficult because of the economic situation of your family, and your family had to sort of pool resources to get you here. What was told to you at the time about your fresh start in America, and what influence did that have on you and your work ethic while you were here?
You know, as soon as I landed in this country, somebody wise said to me that, you know, if you're willing to work hard, you can make anything in this country happen. And I took that advice to heart, and failure was not an option.
When you I understand that to get to this country, you raised some money with your dad. How much money did you raise, and from whom?
Well, you know, we pooled family resources from my parents, from my aunts and uncles.
Who's we? You and your dad?
Yeah.
Did you have to talk to any of these family members?
Yeah, I had to tell them that I'm going to get my act together and make it happen.
Uh-huh. How'd you feel about taking 25 or 30 grand from your relatives that were going to continue to know you?
Grateful.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, they gave me a chance. They gave me a new lease on life, and we'll forever get grateful for that.
Uh-huh. Oh, forever grateful for that. So you felt obligation?
I don't think that they gave it to me with a sense of obligation on my part. I do feel a sense of obligation to give forward and make sure that the investment that was made in me is put to good use.
What's that going to look like?
Well, you know, I became responsible for my family, so, you know, my brother's here now, so I'm giving forward there, and Urvashi and I both focus on a lot of charitable initiatives, and mm-hmm. we're trying to make opportunity happen for others.
Thomas?
Varun, success can mean a lot of things. You watch your father's company grow and expand and have trouble. What are the lessons of success that you've learned at that age, and how does that permeate Changes?
I think any business is about resiliency. What I learned from my dad's experience was you have to be creative, you have to work hard, but when hard times fall, you have to be able to make some tough decisions and keep coming back over and over again to try new things
Will?
Out.
And when you talk about those tough decisions and learning from your dad, you indicated to us one of the things you learned from him was what?
Oh, you know, my most vivid memory of my dad is that he would read the newspaper every morning, and then he would make his daily list of things that he wanted to get done that day and prioritize them. So I'm a serial list maker.
And so he had a successful business, and then there was a problem in the business, and now you and your wife decided to start your own business?
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking?
We wanted to be responsible for our own destiny.
Mm-hmm. Dan, what are you thinking there?
You had mentioned you were from a privileged family in India. Did you feel any pressure to succeed or any fear of failure?
Well, you know, growing up, to be honest with you, Brian was generous when he said that, you know, I was an average student. I was probably below average. So, but, you know, after seeing the economic downturn in my family, I felt like that failure was not an option. So
Jen,
I felt the pressure.
Jen, what do you think?
What was family life really like, you know, before this economic downturn happened? I mean, give us a little color in that area.
Oh, it was great. You know, just hang out, do anything and everything I wanted to do, play a lot of sports, except studying.
Uh-huh. Tell us about your role in the business. What do you and your wife do different?
So, you know, we complement each other really, really well. We're always aligned on the end goal, but we're very different personalities and approaches, take different approaches to what we do. So, you know, while our values are aligned, we focus on service delivery. I focus on service delivery and strategy, and she focuses on overall corporate management.
Uh-huh. Thomas, you have another question there?
How did you and your wife decide to start the changes?
That was a goal early on. When we had first met, she asked me what I wanted to do in life, and I said I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I asked her what she wanted to do in life, and she said that she wanted to do something good for women and be a business owner herself. So when we had met, we were both looking at going to business school, and we got married. She went to business school first, then I went to business school, and we started a company.
How'd that decision get made on who went to business school first?
She was further along in the process and smarter than I am, so we let her do it first.
It's always good advice to marry a smart woman.
Absolutely.
So how, as you started up that business, what kind of dynamic or stress did that put on your family life?
I think we both really enjoy the business. The challenge is that we're talking about business all the time. We talk about business at work. We talk about home at work. So that's really the stress that we have to manage, to separate the two lives.
Any children in the equation?
Yeah, we've got two children, a three-year-old and an eight-month-old.
And what do you want for them?
Well, right now we're working hard for their college funds. You know, we want them to grow up with our values. We want them to feel like that they have a sense of service and make the world a better place.
I'm also curious, your parents still alive?
Yes, they are.
And what do they think about your path in life?
They're incredibly proud.
And one last question.
How do you know that?
They say so.
What do you mean?
Well, I think that they have seen the transformation that I have gone through, and they appreciate that.
I thought it was because, you know, you've told them how much money you're making or how successful the business is. You're talking about the personal transformation you've been through?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, the sense of responsibility to focus, put my head to something and get it done and do it for the larger good.
It sounds to me like they're really appreciative to your wife.
Oh, they should be, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure, Tom, did you?
I detect a competitiveness from you as well, and I'm wondering, in the lessons you learned from your dad in the business, what was the takeaway in terms of effort versus work ethic versus deliberating and thinking things through? I mean, what are the lessons, if you have to pick one or two, that you took away from that?
You are not going to outwork us as a competition.
What do you mean?
Well, we'll work hard. We'll stay focused. We'll work hard and, put it all on the table.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You got your start coming to the United States with help of family. How do you pay that forward?
Well, I think that I'm living the American dream. You pay that forward by creating opportunity for others.
And who are you trying to create that opportunity for?
Well, we've got 70 employees, and for them, for their families, and our partners, our customers.
Mm-hmm. What do you do, given your dad's experience with his company, what do you do in your own company to make sure that these things don't happen?
Well, you know, an entrepreneur always makes decisions with the best information that's available to them at the time. I don't think a lot about what I need to do differently. I focus a lot about, are my decisions consistent with what my strategy is and what my values are and are going to create long-term value?
Mm-hmm. And what are those values?
expertise. We like to do things that we can be really good at. We like to hire people who know what they're doing. Integrity. Say what you said. Do what you said you would do. Loyalty. Be there for others, and collaboration. We have to be able to work well with our customers, partners, employees, everybody together to make things happen.
Aside from leading from by example, are there other things that you do to instill some of these values in staff and provide that kind of mentoring for them?
I think my employees are sick of hearing me talking about values all the time. I think the more you can repeat that, it's the better. And act in a way that is consistent with those values.
Huh. You have kids?
Yes.
How many?
Two, a three-year-old and an eight-month-old.
Similarity between being a dad and being, it says you're executive vice president and co-founder. Mm-hmm. What's the similarity between the two?
I think you have to invest and nurture both.
What do you mean?
You have to invest time with your kids. You have to invest time in your business. You have to think about what's the right thing for them and work hard to make those things happen. And nurture to make sure that everything turns out right. There's an element of destiny to this. You work hard and then you leave the rest to play out.
Give me that again. There's an element of what? Destiny? What are you talking about?
Well, you don't control everything. All you control is your effort and the planning that you did. So that's the destiny.
Uh-huh. So you're telling me that the output's not guaranteed, but even though the output's not guaranteed, you're still going to put your effort into it?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So you get up early and you end up going to sleep late, don't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. But it's worthy because that's the way you have to do it. You believe that even though there's no guarantees, you're going to do it anyway. What's the website address of your organization?
Changeis.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Changeis.com.
And we've been speaking with Varun Malhotra, who is the co-founder and executive vice president of Changeis. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Back in a moment, right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams.
So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Brian Thompson, partner at Jackson Campbell. Brian, what is Jackson Campbell?
Jackson Campbell is a D.C.-based law firm with about 45 attorneys and the same number of staff.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
Originally from a small town in North Carolina called Troy.
And what was the population of Troy?
Probably about 4,000.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One younger brother.
One younger brother. And tell us a little bit about what was going on at the age of 14 with you.
At age of 14, that's about the time my parents were getting divorced following some financial difficulties in my family.
Mm-hmm. Good. You have a partner here. John, what kind of questions do you want to ask him?
What was the catalyst of those financial difficulties?
My father ran a textile company in North Carolina, which employed several people in that region.
How many people in that region?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know he had two factories. I was a little kid, so part of it's a little hard to remember.
So it's not seven people. It's a lot of people.
It was a lot of people. In a
small town.
In a small town.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of those people were parents of friends.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. So what happened when the company didn't work out?
Well, when the company didn't work out, we pretty much lost everything we had. Lost our home, lost the business, lost some friends.
Everybody knew you were his son.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
To this day, they still do.
How'd that make you feel?
It was a little hard. It's a little difficult to become ashamed of your father when you're 8.
Uh-huh.
Kind of damaged our relationship for a couple decades.
Uh-huh. So you ended up, mom and dad got divorced because of that, and the company went bankrupt in a small town. Richard, didn't you have a question earlier?
I did. There's lots of themes of loss as I hear you talk about your family life. How does that help you interact with your clients today?
I really think it does, especially since I deal in real estate, and I do a lot of residential real estate as well as commercial. I kind of have some empathy towards my clients that are going through some difficult times. I don't see the empathy as a bad thing. It's challenging, but my wife does say every day when I come home, if I've had a particularly empathetic day, is anyone dead? Is anyone in jail? No, then it wasn't that bad.
So you're really a caring attorney.
I try to be.
Who's got the next question here?
What did you want to be growing up?
I went through several phases. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I would have loved to have done that, but I just couldn't deal with the difficulties of animals going through some problems. And then I did want to become a professor in college. I wanted to do history, but that doesn't pay so well. So I, about my senior year of college, I decided I was going to be a lawyer. Went off to Tulane Law School.
You mentioned that you played sports as a kid. What kind of sports?
I played baseball, basketball.
And baseball, what was, I understand that you were the second baseman. Some other stuff was going on also.
I was the second baseman. My father was also my coach through, as he was in most of the things I played growing up.
And how, what happened?
Oh, well, I decided not to play baseball at some point and moved on to other things, such as soccer, which my father never played in his life.
So you, so this fact that you didn't want to be dominated, how's that affected your business career and you're getting involved with this law firm?
Well, this law firm, I didn't want to be dominated. I came to a law firm with a lot of people that I respect. There were colleagues that I've known for several years before I made the change. It seemed like the right fit, and I think I fit right in and moved on up.
How many years ago was that?
That was about three and a half years ago.
John?
Brian, you talked about the problems you had with your dad growing up, so I take it you leaned on your mother, and if so, what did you learn from her?
I learned a very strong work ethic from my mother. My mother had been a stay-at-home mom since my little brother was born, but as soon as things went bad, my mom went right back to work. My mom worked multiple jobs. She worked at night when she had to. That's where my work ethic comes from.
Megan, what do you think?
It seems like your relationship with your dad was strained after everything you'd gone through. Were you able to eventually rebuild that relationship?
Yes, it's a kind of a story of redemption. We've become closer now. I think we've both come to really understand each other at this point and respect each other.
And how does that affect your business career?
I do believe in redemption stories. I believe in giving people second chances. I do see difficulties in cases, and I know that just because you encounter one difficulty in a case, it doesn't mean that's necessarily into that case.
Tim, did you have a question there?
Yeah, so, you know, the older you get, the more you kind of understand why your parents were the way they were back then. Is there something that as a kid you wanted to know why it was happening that now you have a much better perspective on?
Well, I think I just recently got married, so I didn't really understand the dynamics between my parents. I didn't understand the business aspects. I was kind of kept in the out of things, but as I've grown older and as I've gotten access to Pacer, I've learned some things over the years about what went on exactly when I was a kid, and that's kind of taught myself.
Richard, what else are you thinking there?
Yeah, so you mentioned that you and your father have been able to reconcile, so obviously being a partner in a law firm, he's aware of your success. Have you guys ever talked about the nature of success and the nature of life and lessons that he can teach you now that perhaps he couldn't teach you earlier?
He has taught me a lot lately. I've come to see success as it can be fleeting. Things, you have to work hard. Just because you have some kind of downturn doesn't mean that's the end. We've definitely reconciled, and I do see him as more of a teacher now.
What do you mean success can be fleeting? What are you talking about?
Just because you're successful today doesn't mean you're successful tomorrow, especially in the law. You might win a great case one day and lose a case you think you're going to win the next day.
Huh, interesting. And you and your dad are back talking again, and he's teaching you. You're open to, boy, that is redemption, isn't it?
It is redemption. I probably talk to my father more than my mother now.
And tell us a little bit about, when you say redemption, how's that play itself out in business? What do you mean?
I just think everybody makes mistakes in business. You learn lessons. You pick yourself up. You move on.
So let's assume if somebody does something rotten to you, as opposed to beating them up, you forgive them?
I don't think you forgive them right away, but you take it as a lesson. You see where they might be coming from, and hopefully it leads to forgiveness at some point.
So these are colleagues within the firm you're talking about.
I don't have any bad colleagues within the firm.
So they may be other attorneys or a client or whatever. So you're sort of open to keeping the relationship alive if it makes sense.
This is a business of relationships.
What are you talking? What do you mean?
I think that the law in particular, Your colleagues are your referral sources. Your colleagues are your allies. Mm-hmm. Your colleagues are where you go for information. These are the people that you learn from.
What's the website address of this organization, Jackson Campbell?
JacksCamp.com.
We've been speaking with Brian Thompson, partner of Jackson Campbell, and Mr. John Let's see. Could you, Mr. Yetman, could you give us a rundown on who we've had in the air today, please?
Absolutely, Herb. We had Berkey Belzer, managing partner of Greenfield Belzer. We had Rick Landsman, CEO of Merrick Group. We had P.V. Puvada, president of Unisys Federal. And we had Brian Thompson, partner with Jackson Campbell.
I'd like to thank my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, John Yetman, AEG, Richard Bynum, PNC Bank, John Matteo, Jackson Campbell, Laura Taylor, Silverline Communications, Tim Young, Young Marketing, and Megan Leshner, J.D. Katz, for giving me instruction on the questions. Hope you're providing a listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today. Do have a nice day, and bye-bye.
Nice show.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.